Yana Gilman, and this is
Margaret Wire.
Together, we spoke with Jerry Steinberg, who practices Buddhism at the Tsekyelgard Dzogchen Center in Conway, Massachusetts.
The name Dzogchen refers to an Indo-Tibetan teaching which first came about in the 9th century in Tibet. It focuses on connecting its followers to discovering the ultimate nature of existence, emptiness. It does so through transmissions from realized teachers who have transcended suffering itself.
Dzogchen takes its roots from the work of Indian Buddhist philosopher and scholar Shantarakshita, who synthesized Madhyamaka and Yogacara, two schools of Buddhist philosophy which differ in their approach to the key Buddhist notions of emptiness and the two truths.
Now let's hear from Jerry about how and why he first got into Dzogchen practice.
I didn't know about Buddhism when I was in college, actually. I mean, I didn't think about it. Even when I was very young, I was kind of interested in these questions. Very young. I mean, like, you know, preteen. I mean, my friend would sit on the street corner at night and look up at the stars and ask ourselves these very theological questions about the meaning of life.
We asked Jerry how he sees Dzogchen practice fitting into his life.
Well, my approach is purely practical. Mm-hmm. I'm not a philosopher. I'm not a teacher. And when I was in medical school, I was taking an elective in psychiatry, and there was a gentleman who was working in that office, like as a videographer, and he introduced me to my first teacher, who was a Paul Anderson, who was a Gurdjieff teacher. So he had an ongoing community. I joined that community and was a member of that community from the early 70s until the mid 80s, when Mr. Anderson became interested in Buddhism. And he introduced us to a whole series of teachers in Buddhism, and mainly Tibetan Buddhist teachers. And we took teachings and empowerments from many teachers. And in that context, he met a gentleman who had studied and or had information about my current teacher from retreats that he had given. And he shared those with my teacher, and my teacher became extremely interested in those. And he invited my teacher, Namkhai Norbu Rinpoche, to Conway based on what he had learned from him. And so that's when I met Namkhai Norbu. So it was kind of like serendipitous that I met him. But my first moment of meeting him, I had an immediate, unequivocal, incredible connection to him. It's non-verbal, kind of energetic, but it's very hard to explain. Mm-hmm. Basically, there were principles that we were learning which were connected to the relative and the absolute nature of reality. And there's a experience in that we explain in Dzogchen called Rigpa, which is kind of finding yourself in the essence of the natural state, of a natural state. And that can be introduced to you from a master who is realized and is in that state. And I made that connection immediately with him and found myself in that state with him.
Is that state something they go in and out of, or is it achieved and that's it?
No, it's not achieved. Uh-huh. Actually, there's this way of explaining that in the Dzogchen teachings, and there are three approaches. Garb Dorji, who was a teacher who came after the Buddha, who was an incarnation of the Buddha, and has these three statements called direct introduction, being without doubt, and continuing in the state. So direct introduction is being introduced to the state, the natural state. And being without doubt is being able to practice to be in the state, and continuing the state is when you can be in the state continuously and then develop your realization in the state. But for us mortals, you have to be introduced to the state over and over and over again, and then work with it. It's not something that once you experience, you're not, because that would be being realized, and being realized is not such an easy thing to do, even though, particularly from the Dzogchen perspective, it says when you're in the state of Dzogchen or in your natural state, you're beyond the state of effort or working or working with the mind.
This led us to questions about this state in Dzogchen teachings and what role the Vajra dance plays in cultivating it.
Yeah, the dance that we do, there's a bunch of different dances. There's such a thing in Tibetan Buddhism as Terma teachings. Terma teachings are teachings that great masters receive either in their dreams or through visions, and they come from pure dimensions, if you believe in this and if you have this experience. Our teacher received these transmissions in dreams, multiple dreams of these sacred dances, and they're done to kind of different mantras, you might call them, and the idea is to integrate body, voice, and mind together and kind of at the same time harmonize the external world with your internal mandala and balance your energies.
We then asked Jerry how his practice influences his relationship with suffering.
Suffering is really interesting. I mean, suffering is basically a practice, because if you have some presence and awareness, there's presence and awareness and there's suffering, and it's an experience, right?
Yeah.
And if you try and avoid suffering, you don't want to purposely suffer, but you also don't want to escape suffering, because in escaping suffering, you're just adding another layer of bullshit onto everything. You're creating more suffering, usually, especially if it's emotional suffering or conceptual suffering, and you try and avoid it or eliminate it in some way, you're working with the mind to create more problems. So the principle is, when you experience any kind of suffering, whether it be anxiety or fear of death, fear of speaking in front of a class, whatever it may be, you just experience it. It's practice. You know, the thing is to just be present to whatever you're experiencing. I've had a lot of experiences with fear and anxiety in my life, and also you also come across very deep-seated kinds of emotional blockages when you do these kind of practices. And when you do that, same thing. It's not a matter of trying to escape them. You integrate, because there's a dualistic quality to any of that stuff. And the idea is to integrate so that there's no separation, and it becomes kind of the background dimension of your manifestation.
Considering the dualistic aspect of suffering, we then asked Jerry how he comes to experience the suffering of others, particularly as a doctor.
Basically, you have to try and just be present to it as best you can. One way of understanding compassion is to try and evoke a sympathy or an empathy, but that's kind of working with the mind. And it's nice to do that if you can, and it's helpful. The other way is to just try and be in your own state and be present in the person, in together in the dimension with that person. And therefore, you're kind of, by doing that, you're kind of helping them in a certain way.
The topic of the suffering of others naturally led us into conversation about the topic of death.
There is this whole problem of death, you know, which is kind of also one of the kind of reasons you might get into this in the beginning, you know, and even at the end. And your view on death and approach to death kind of is integrated into this whole principle, because one of the big issues, and you learn about this, I don't know if you've talked about it in your classes, about impermanence, about the principle of impermanence, but the ultimate impermanence, not just of our dimension in this universe, which is going to end too, you know, if you believe and look at the science, that it's going to become totally empty blackness, you know, in a couple of trillion years, you know. But right now, my job is just to do the best I can.
How would you describe the inner environment that Dzogchen practice gives you?
Dzogchen behavior is just to be relaxed and be aware and try and be present to your experience. Some people might describe it as working with emptiness, or working with mindfulness, or working with the union of what you experience and emptiness at the same time, many things like that. But then there's also a lot of tantric practices that we do. So tantric teachings and working with a different type of perspective on how we view reality. Like in Mahayana Buddhism, we talk about relative and absolute truth, talk about, and in tantric Buddhism, they talk about pure and impure vision. And pure vision is basically the clarity aspect of emptiness. I work a lot myself personally with tantric practices, but with a Dzogchen perspective. So the thing is, once you have the Dzogchen perspective, you can use all the other practices from a Dzogchen view. It's kind of like taking a helicopter ride to the top of the mountain, then going up and climbing the mountain after you've seen what it looks like from the top. And so once you're there, you can understand, you can see which way, where the problems are, you can see, you know, what issues there are, you can, when you get to a certain point, you know you're not really at the top, although if you can't see the top because it's cloudy, if you were not ever in that helicopter, you might think you're at the top, but you're not really because you don't understand that there's something else beyond that. Anyway, Dzogchen principle is one of self-liberation, which means you're working with awareness and presence. You're not trying to reject anything. You're not trying to reject suffering. You're not trying to reject ignorance, even in a certain sense, attachment, ignorance. You're not trying to reject it. You're not trying to accept it. You're just trying to be present. It's kind of beyond acceptance and rejection. But you know the principles that are there. You know that. In essence, we're in a state of suffering because of being attached to samsara, because of our karma.
Would you be able to describe the ignorance of that initial state compared to your state now?
I'm still ignorant. I mean, ignorance has to do with our inability to only be, that we're totally distracted. We're totally in our projected mind, in our conceptual mind, and we're not present. And as long as we're not present and we're in our conceptual mind, basically we're ignorant of the state of our natural state. So we're either in Rigpa or in Ma Rigpa. Ma Rigpa is ignorance, it's a Tibetan term, and Rigpa is the natural state, is our own essence. So if you're not in Rigpa, you're in ignorance. It's as simple as that. So we're always in ignorance. But the thing is, you might understand a little bit better that you're in ignorance sometimes than you do at other times before, you know, and understand what the distraction is and how deep distraction is and how incredibly deeply we are conditioned and distracted by external phenomena and by our own conceptual mind.
We then asked Jerry about the benefits that he's experienced through doing this practice for so long.
This kind of improves your kind of ability to make connections with people, to kind of see them essentially, or see an aspect of them, especially at my work as a physician. And also you can observe your behavior more. So I can, when I'm working, I can see that certain people have this really nice, beautiful, and I do geriatrics, I'm not young myself, but I can see certain people have this, can have this beautiful connection with, kind of like, I can appreciate their essence, their being, you know, their quality. And then there's other people who, for some reason, either because of me or because of them, I don't want to even have anything to do with them. I mean, I can see myself having that experience. You know, they're either incredibly manipulative, they're very angry, they're very negative, and I can't get through to it. And I bring up my own defenses, or I can't really kind of enter into a compassionate kind of connection to them. But I can see that, and I just be aware of that. So that comes from my experience with the practice as well. The connections in the community are different, because they don't have to be external necessarily. And they're very special because of the fact of this Vajra relationship. Even people like, when you travel and you meet people for the first time, and you might not have any kind of external connection to them at all, but you do have, you still know that they're your Vajra brothers and sisters, and it's kind of a different thing in some level.
We then asked Jerry about the relationships he experiences within the Segyulgar Dzogchen community.
On a day-to-day basis, we don't sit around talking about it, but when we get together, what we do is we practice. We either practice one of the tantric practices or one of the other sitting practices I was talking about, or we do the dance, to it, but one of the major principles about being a community is that we can all help each other. That when you're in the state together, those people who have more experience energetically can help those people who have less experience just being together. From the Bodhisattva perspective, from the Mahayana perspective, that the more we practice and we try and accumulate merit and wisdom for ourselves, the more we're helping this interdependent dimension we live in.
And on that note of togetherness, we bring this episode to a close. We'd like to thank Jerry for his wisdom, time, and kindness. We'd also like to thank those at the Tsekyelgard Dzogchen Center for letting us into their community to observe and learn, and for giving us a glimpse into the lives of those who have dedicated themselves to the Dzogchen practice. If you'd like to continue learning about the center and the Dzogchen way, you can listen to Radha and Aisling's podcast, which features Lin, another member of the Tsekyelgard Dzogchen Center. They will take you through the theory behind the practice Jerry has described. For now, thank you for listening, and have a wonderful day.